Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, though, dentists are extracting up to 20 baby teeth from children as young as two due to severe tooth decay. The problem is being caused by sugary drinks in the main, and it's being exacerbated by the difficulty in accessing public dentists. Dr. Catherine Gallagher is an oral surgeon at Cork University Dental School and Hospital and is on the line now. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Not at all. We're delighted to speak to you because I think people might be really shocked by that number, 20 baby teeth from children as young as two, but that is something that you have done, isn't it?
Yes, and not just once. I've done that several times in my career as an oral surgeon. And in one way, it's very comforting that people are shocked by that because it is and should be shocking. But it's not an isolated occurrence, and while it's the extreme end of the spectrum, it is certainly a daily thing for us to be taking out, you know, teeth, 8, 9, 10 teeth from children who are 5, 6, 7 years old.
Right.
So we're doing a lot of extractions.
So can you tell me what is going on in those little mouths when you look in there and you see that level of extraction needing to be done?
Well, overwhelmingly, it's dental decay. We do see some children who are needing front teeth taken out that, you know, as a result of trauma, they've fallen over and broken them. But they are in a very small minority. Overwhelmingly, it's because the teeth have gone bad and have gone bad to the point where there are either so many teeth gone bad or the children are so young that they can't sit in a dental chair and have treatment, or there are just too many teeth to take out that they end up needing a general anaesthetic and multiple extractions.
Mm-hmm. And how are the parents when the child is in with you for that operation?
They're not happy. When I see them, they're past the point of the initial shock because I'm seeing them at the point of delivery of that. Well, I don't know if you can call it treatment, really. It's salvaging. It's getting people out of pain, really. You wouldn't call it care in any other sense. But they've been on a waiting list for a long time by the time I see them for those extractions. So they have absorbed the information. They've gone past the point of shock. But they are very upset. And, you know, children having that number of extractions, it's a traumatic experience for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And these children, they're in pain afterwards. They have difficulty eating before and afterwards. It's an unpleasant and entirely preventable.
Well, that's the thing.
Or almost entirely preventable problem.
Yeah. And I don't want to, you know, get into a blame game here because we're all just trying to do our best, aren't we, when it comes to our children? But I suppose maybe it's a lack of understanding about what we're giving them to eat and drink.
And I think that certainly is the case. We're not good enough at prevention. We're not good enough at helping people to understand why decay happens in the first place. And dental decay, like I said, is almost entirely preventable. But we're conditioned to think of it as, you know, when and how much rather than if. We don't think of it in the main as something that is preventable. And it is linked pretty much exclusively to how and when and how often we eat sugar.
Okay, so that's interesting that you say that because I'm sure you'll have parents listening here who are really careful when it comes to brushing their toddler's teeth, and it's not an easy thing to do, but they'll be doing it twice a day and thinking that they have the bases covered. But it's not that, you're saying, it's the diet.
I don't at all want to give anybody the idea that toothbrushing is not good. Yes, of course it is good, and it has, you know, for several reasons, it reduces the amount of tooth decay. But if you don't have sugar in what you eat and drink, then by and large, you are not going to get decay. Because the way in which we get decay is that the bacteria that we all have in our mouths, and those are, you know, healthy things, in the main, those bacteria live on sugar. And when they have sugar, they produce acid. And the acid is what attacks our teeth. and causes the decay. So our saliva, over a period of half an hour or so when we've had sugar, will get our mouths back to a healthy state where they're not being attacked by acid. But if we keep adding sugar into that mouth, then the mouth never gets a chance to recover, and we end up with dental decay. So it's frequency as much as quantity.
Mm-hmm.
That is a real problem.
And you're having conversations with the parents of these children, I'm sure, before and after the surgeries, after they've had multiple extractions. And I keep thinking about the two-year-olds with the 20 teeth being taken out. What are they telling you that children have been consuming?
Well, a lot of them are very surprised because they do, as you say, you know, we've been very careful. He doesn't get sweets or she doesn't get this, that and the other. What they often don't realise is that it's drinks as much as things that you eat, and sometimes more so, because people tend to sip on drinks. And so they bathe the teeth in this sugary liquid for a longer period of time and you get a more sustained attack on the teeth. Bottles that are sweetened with things that children take to naps or bedtime, those are particularly damaging. And people often don't realise that fruit juices contain sometimes more sugar than the fizzy drinks we all know are bad for us. So, you know, fruit juice, bottle of orange juice, you know, mill for mill, contains as much sugar as a bottle of Coca-Cola.
So when we hear the word fruit, we think, yes, that's good.
Well, yeah, we think healthy and good. But we also need to think sugar. And not just because of teeth, but there are common risk factors between those nutritional choices and lots of other diseases like diabetes, obesity and so on. They have these common risk factors. So, yes, I'm talking from an oral health perspective, but it's a general health perspective that's also important.
You spoke about this to the Examiner today, and I was just interested to see that one of the drinks you were concerned about is milk with honey added to it, which is not something I'd heard of before, but is that common?
Yeah, well, it is reasonably common. People add all sorts of things into the bottle of milk to make it more attractive to children. Sometimes they do things like dipping the soother in honey and giving it to the child to suck on. Kids love it.
Of course, I
love it myself. But it is, no matter where the sugar comes from, even if it comes from a food which has other health benefits or is recommended in other ways, as far as teeth are concerned, sugar is sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And if it stays in the mouth for long enough, then it will cause a problem with your teeth.
And when you're having the conversations with the parents afterwards and explaining, like particularly in the case of the really small children, the two-year-olds, who if they've lost 20 teeth, that's all of the baby teeth gone, right? Because they only have 20.
Yes.
Are they accepting of the advice that you're giving them? And are they understanding that it is the sugary drinks that has caused this?
Certainly some of them are, yes, but it's not the ideal environment to be having this conversation. You know, they are sitting beside their child's bed. Their child has just had 20 teeth out. They're upset. They need mum or dad to give them a cuddle now. And mum or dad, you know, in this environment, that's not the ideal time to be educating people. Yes, we can have those conversations, but it's the wrong place and time for them.
So
they need to be happening much, much earlier.
Okay, so
before any of this problem arises.
Tell me when you think it should happen then.
Well, if you look at the National Oral Health Policy, it's quite a progressive policy that suggests that prevention, there are these packages of care that it recommends, starting the first one before the age of two. So before children get teeth is the best time to actually prevent the problem, because you have time to avoid developing the bad habits in the first place, and it's much easier not to acquire a bad habit than it is to change it and give it up.
Of course.
That's very difficult.
That makes complete sense for us not to develop the bad habit in the first place, because it is, as you say, very, very hard to break it. Catherine, thank you very much for joining us. That's Dr. Catherine Gallagher, who's Vice President of the Irish Dental Council, who practices at Cork University Dental School. We'll take a break and we'll have more after this.